Our Father, we're so grateful for the honor and the privilege every Sunday morning to be able to get up and come and sit at the banquet table of your beautiful word. And Father, I really believe in my heart that that is the wisest decision we can make as women, is to be women who study your word. Because your word is so beneficial. And maybe just remind ourselves this morning of the wonderful benefits of studying your word. We become a woman whose foundation is on a sure rock. And when the storms of life come, not if the storms of life come, we all know they come. But if we're on your word as our foundation, the storms of life will not wreck us, will not be destroyed, because we are building our life upon the principles of your word. Your word is alive. Your word is unique. Your word is anointed. It gives direction. It brings healing to our frazzled hearts. It brings rest. It gives us direction. Sometimes it has to spank us and correct us. But it gives us instruction that we need to know. And it's with it, everything we need for living is available to us. So thank you, God, for this room full of women. Not that I'm such a good teacher, but it's that your word is so good. It's so worthy of our attention. Even if we just sat in circles and read it, it would be so worth our being here this morning. And I pray your blessing on it. And Father, each lady has entered this room, and each one of us have a whole tornado of things swirling around us that are needs and burdens and concerns and cares, all in our lives. May we lay those things at your feet, because you say in your word that you care for us and that we can cast our burdens at your feet. Help us to do that, Father. Help us to be women who know your word, who obey your word, who live your word, and who, as we're walking through this world, we're speaking your word and we're sharing it with a troubled world who needs to know it. Father, make us kingdom women. Women who are strong. Women who are mature in their faith. Women who are ready to serve you. Take your word and do that with us, Father. And we pray these things in your precious name. Now this morning we're going to finish up chapter 3 of James, so that's where I want you to be. And we're going to be going a few other places. We're going to go back and forth a little bit. So you're going to need to mark chapter 3 of James, because we're going to be coming back there. But we're going to go to some other places too. Now, this, I believe, is our 8th test that James has given us. It may be 7. It was on my handout. Darn. Wish I'd brought it. But this is going to be, this morning, the test of this. Do you exhibit in your life, now listen carefully, do you exhibit in your life, by the way you live, earthly wisdom or heavenly wisdom, godly wisdom? Now, there are two kinds of wisdoms in the world. James is going to contrast two kinds of wisdom. Number one, earthly. Number two, godly. Number one, earthly. Number two, godly. Let's start by reading our verses, and it's going to be 13 through 18, and then I'm going to come back and we're going to take it apart. This is what James says. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let her show by her good behavior her deeds and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Because this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. Verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But now we're going to look at God's wisdom. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, full of good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, verse 17 says, look at it. Wisdom, true wisdom, comes from above. And verse 15 says, but the wisdom that is of the earth is natural and it's demonic. And James is going to give us the test of wisdom. Now let's just remember our other test we've taken. There was the test we saw in chapter 1 that true saving faith can be seen in your life by how you respond to trials. That was the first test. And you're to count it all joy when you go into trials. Why? Because this trial is just so much fun. I love trials. No. Because the trial is going to result in your life that you be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. God is maturing you through your trials. And God will never give you a trial that you cannot handle. He's over. Nothing can touch you unless God permits it. You say, Teresa, I just don't know. That was more than I could bear. I'd say, well, that's not according to the Word of God. God says He'll take everything in your life. He'll work it together for your good. That you be like Jesus. That's what your good is. Not that you're happy and rich and have everything you want. No, that's not what God's about. God's about making you like Jesus. And you could be living in Casa de Fe as an orphan and have everything you need because you have Jesus. He'll make you perfect, complete, lacking nothing. That was the first test. The second test was how a person responds to trials, to temptation. The third test, how does a person respond to the Word of God? Are you a hearer of it and not a doer? He's saying, look, it's not just the hearing. It's the doing of God's Word that matters. That's where the blessing comes. Then, how do you respond to needy people, to orphans? Do you show partiality? That was the next test. Saving faith is also seen, we learned, in our righteous works. And if you missed last week, that was a good week to miss. Because, oh my goodness, it stepped on our toes. Because we saw that our mouth is a tattletale on our heart. And your tongue, the words that come out of your mouth, reveal if you're really born again. Now we're coming today to the test of wisdom. If you are for real, your life will display the wisdom of God. Now I'm not saying you're going to perfectly display it. But you're going to see a pattern, a yearning in your heart that wants to display the wisdom of God. In fact, the kind of wisdom you have will manifest in the way that you live. And James is showing us here that there's a false wisdom. We're going to look at it first in verses 14 through 16. And then there's a true wisdom, and that's in verses 17 and 18. Now he starts in verse 13 with the question, what kind of wisdom do you have? Who among you is wise and understanding? That's what he says. Now this question is calling us, okay, let's just look at our lives a little bit this morning. Let's examine ourselves this morning. That's very biblical to examine yourself. 1 Corinthians 13 says, examine yourselves. Make sure that you are for real, that you're in the faith. Don't just say, well, when I was 7, I prayed a little prayer and I got baptized and so I'm in, I'm saved. No, you've got to constantly be examining your life. You're a fruit inspector. You're looking for fruit. So James is going to say, you claim to have wisdom. Show it. Show it. Show it in your life. Because I'm going to believe you when you show it. And the present tense there is to be continually showing it. And how are you going to show it? Look at verse 13. All this was on your handout. How are you going to show it? Number one, by your good behavior. Number two, by your deeds. Now, one thing I want you to remember, and this goes back to our introduction to our book. James is Jewish. And the first church, he was the pastor of the very first church in Jerusalem of Christians that was born on the day of Pentecost. And so that's his flock who are now scattered because of persecution. And he's sending out this letter. It's just going all over. He doesn't even know where his flock is. But they are Jews as well. The first church was made up of redeemed Jews. And then Paul comes along and he starts going out and bringing the Gentiles in. So I want you to remember that he's writing now to Jews. Jews had a lot of information about godly wisdom. That was very important to them. In fact, in their Old Testament, they had five wisdom books. Do you know what they are? Well, Proverbs, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and Job. Those were called the wisdom literature. Now, one thing I want you to see that is clear in those books, and I could take 4 or 5 weeks and we could just go to Job and we could go to Proverbs and we could go to Psalms and we would see this. But let me just give it to you in a nutshell because we don't have time. And it's this. God is the source of true wisdom. You cannot go anywhere else to find true wisdom. God is the source of true wisdom. Now let's just do a little Bible search here. So put a marker in. Let's go to a few verses. I want you to go back to the middle of your Bible. Go to Job and go to chapter 28 of Job. Job is right before Psalm. And this whole chapter, I wish we just had time to study this whole chapter. But I want you to look at this one verse here. That's going to give us the bottom line. Do y'all like my glasses? I thought it was good. Let me just give you the bottom line in this chapter. It says, and to the man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord. I'm on chapter 28, verse 28. I'm sorry. Job 28, verse 28. And to the man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Go to Proverbs 2. Turn over, skip Psalms, and then you'll be right into Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2 is all about wisdom. Wisdom is personified as a woman, and you're to be pursuing her as a person. Find her. Search for her. Pay whatever you have to pay. But find wisdom is what Proverbs is saying. Look at verse 6 of chapter 2. Let's read it. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Go to Proverbs 3, verse 13. Proverbs 3, verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom. And the man who gains understanding, for its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Now he's speaking about wisdom as if she was a woman. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who hold her fast. The Lord by wisdom, now underline these verses, and I'm going to make a point with these next two verses. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. Now, these are key verses. If God used wisdom, now listen carefully, to create the universe, then wisdom, then wisdom must be outside the created universe. Do you hear what I'm saying? By wisdom, God made everything. So if God made everything, where was wisdom? It was before anything was ever created. And what I'm saying to you is true wisdom is outside the box of the created universe. Therefore, God who created must be the source of wisdom because he predates creation. Do you see what I'm saying as a point there? Go to Proverbs. Proverbs 9:10. Proverbs 9:10. Once again, here we see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, let me ask a question. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Okay, I heard what wisdom brings. Long life is one hand, riches is not on the other. Proof sewer, she's better than gold. She's better than silver. She brings happiness. Her ways are peace. Boy, I want that, don't you? That sounds like just what I'm looking for. And so if the beginning of it is to fear the Lord, what does fear the Lord mean? And what I want you to see here, the Old Testament knew exactly what that meant. That meant, I'm a person that is trusting God. I'm a person that is saved. It means salvation. So I'm going to say to you, where does wisdom begin? It begins at salvation. God is the source. Outside of Him, I don't have it. Nowhere to find it. Job 28 says, if I go up into the far reaches of the universe, it's not there. If I go down to Abaddon, which is hell, it's not there. No matter where I go and I'm looking, is it on the wings of the bird? No, it's not there. Is it in the depths of the sea? No, it's not there. I can't find it. But I get it at salvation. Now jot down this reference, 1 Corinthians 1:30. I'm just going to read it to you because we're going to run out of time if we go all these places. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this, Christ is made unto us wisdom. Christ is made unto us wisdom. Now when I get born again, who moves right in me? I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. I've been transformed because God has moved in. He's moved in, and Christ has made unto himself, I'm his now, and wisdom is mine. Why? Because he's living where? He's in me, and I have wisdom. Now that blows me away. That blows me away. Did you know that I have the wisdom of God living in me? And guess what? If I lack wisdom, what do I need to do? Just ask God, who gives to me generously and doesn't hold back. He doesn't say, okay, here's a thimble of wisdom. He says, no, Teresa, Christ is in you. You got it all. And I'll give it to you lavishly. I'll pour it out like Niagara Falls on you. And I need wisdom every day of my life. I need wisdom in every area of everything I'm dealing with, in all my categories and your categories. And God says, I'm wisdom to you. I'll give you everything you need. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You've got everything you need. Now let it sink in. Now, ladies, do you believe that? Do you believe that? If you'll start just thinking upon what is yours in Christ, all the incredible riches that are ours in Jesus Christ, why do we strive so? Now go one more place. Go to Proverbs 19. I'm just going to take you a couple of more places. Proverbs 19. And I want you to look at verse 23 there. Proverbs 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. My goodness, the fear of the Lord. Being saved leads to life. Real life. And then this is just one of my very favorite verses in the whole Bible. Look at Proverbs 22:4. This is just something I've tried to teach my children. I've tried to learn it myself. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord. What are they? Three things. Riches, honor, and life. Now, how many of you want riches, honor, and life? Look at me. How many of you want your life to be characterized by riches, honor, and life? You know what? It's going to start when you fear the Lord. What does fear the Lord equal? What did I tell you? Salvation. Everything you need is in Christ. He has made unto you wisdom. So wisdom begins then. I'm going to say this was on your handout. Where does wisdom start? It starts with the relationship to God through salvation. That's where it starts. Now, James is talking to Christians here. I can't go preach this to the world. The world doesn't know about God's wisdom. They think they're so smart. And James is assuming now about wisdom. He's just assuming that his Jewish readers have a really good understanding of wisdom. Now, on your handout, put a Roman numeral 1, and then out beside it, put false wisdom. We're going to talk about false wisdom. Now, I'm going to say this about worldly wisdom. It has no relationship to God. It has no heart to obey God. It has no knowledge of God's truth. And James is going to tell us several things. There's a motivation for false wisdom. And we see it right there in, I believe it's verse 16. So what's the motivation? This would be A, motivation for false wisdom. Two things. Number one, bitter jealousy. Number two, selfish ambition. Listen to verse 14. Oh, I've got to go back. Hold on. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from above. You've got bitter jealousy. Now listen to what I found out about bitter jealousy. A harsh, bitter self-centeredness that produces a resentful attitude toward everybody else. It's living in a me world. And people with earthly wisdom, they live in a real self-focused world. They have bitter jealousies, bitter attitudes toward anyone who threatens their little world, who threatens their little accomplishments, who threatens their reputation. It's a self-focused world. And anyone who is self-focused is going to have a problem with bitter jealousy. You know, we're going to have to do a Bible study on jealousy one day. Jealousy is something that's very, very ugly. And I think women have to deal with it a lot. Here's the second thing we mentioned, selfish ambition. Now, that means a personal ambition that's going to create rivalries or a party spirit. And James is saying, the wisdom that is not of God is selfish, self-centered, full of ego, full of fulfillment for themselves. There's not any kind of selflessness in it. There's no humility. There's no love for one another. It's proud. It's selfish. It's self-focused. It's self-centered. It's working only for personal gain. And Paul says, if this is you, don't be arrogant. Don't go around saying, oh, I've got the wisdom of God. Don't be arrogant, because your life shows that you're lying against God's truth. You're lying. He's saying, if you're running around saying you have the wisdom of God and you're really a proud, loveless, self-centered person, you are a liar. Now, let's look at, this would be B, characteristics of false wisdom. We're going to look at three characteristics of false wisdom. And here's the first one. It's earthly. That's what James says. It's earthly. Now, what does he mean by earthly? And this is what he means. It's limited to time and space. Outside of time and space is God and eternal truth. But this kind of wisdom, false wisdom, is limited to this little earthbound box, to man's system. All right, here's the second characteristic. Number two would be, it's natural. Another word, your version may say sensual. Sensual. It's sensual or it's natural. That means it's a slave to the bodily functions or the bodily impulses. It speaks of man's humanness, our feelings, our impulses, our appetites. And then the third characteristic is that, and this is the big one, it's actually demonic. That's just the bottom line. It's demonic. It's demonic. It has its origin with demons. Now I want you to think about Eve in the Garden of Eden. She was looking at that tree. Do you know what she thought when she saw it? She was desiring it. You know why? Do you remember? Because he told her it would be able to make her, do you remember the word? Wise. Isn't that interesting? It would make her wise. Was that a lie? Yes. That was a lie. And Satan always promises a wisdom that he cannot deliver. He cannot give true wisdom. Only worldly wisdom. And it proceeds, now mark it, from evil spirits, from fallen angels, from demons. That's where it comes from. All right, now listen. demonic, natural, earthbound wisdom never touches the wisdom of God. It only leads us into immorality, arrogance, self-sufficiency, self-content. And when you look at the world, is that what you see? You ever just get so frustrated when you look at the world? You ever just feel burdened? You say, why does it have to be this way? Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like I just want to throw my hands up? It's because the world is locked up in human wisdom. They don't have the answers. And they're never going to have the answers. You're never going to educate us out of our problems in the world. You're not. And then here would be C on your outline, the results of false wisdom. And that comes from verse 16. And there are two results. Number one would be disorder. And number two is every evil thing. Now that just covers everything, doesn't it? Every evil thing. Well, what does that mean, Teresa? Well, every evil thing. The word disorder is an interesting word. It means confusion, instability, chaos. That's the result of false wisdom. You're going to build your life on earthly, worldly wisdom, which every magazine you pick up is going to tell you about. Mm-hmm. They're going to tell you how to live your life and everything. You're going to say, okay, I'm going to try to do it that way. It's going to result in chaos, confusion, disorder, instability. And then in every evil word. It has absolutely no good at all. It's worthless. Now put Roman numeral 2, and we're going to look at true wisdom. True wisdom. That's verses 17 and 18. Listen to me as I read those two verses. But the wisdom from above is first, pure, and then he lists 8 things about true wisdom. We're going to look at each one of them. But the first thing I want you to see, but the wisdom that is from where? From where? Above. Where is this wisdom coming from? It's coming from God. This is godly wisdom. It comes down to us from God. Number one, it's pure. Jot that down. That word is a wonderful word. It just means you're pure in your heart. You know what happens when you get saved? I love the picture in Ezekiel. God takes out the stony heart and puts in a soft heart, a new heart. And when you get saved, we get this new heart. Now, I'm not perfect, but I'm going to tell you what my heart wants to do. The real me really wants to serve God. The real me really wants to speak the words that edify. The real me really wants to honor God when I'm in a trial and honor God when I'm in a temptation. The real me loves the Word of God. The real me wants to know it and obey it. And the real me wants to not show partiality and to help those in need. Now, I don't always do it perfectly, but I can tell you God's given me a new heart. And that's what my heart wants to do. And that's what a pure heart wants to do. And that's what happens to us when we get saved. It's that the deepest part of us wants to serve God, wants to love God, wants to obey God. Now, I'm living this new heart that God's given me, is still living in this body of flesh that's not redeemed yet. So I have to battle my flesh. I've put my flesh under the control of my spirit. I've got to be led by the spirit, not by the flesh. And it's a battle, and it's going to be a battle the whole time you're in your Christian body. But praise God, we're going to get delivered from it one day. So, first of all, it's pure. Number two, we've got to hurry. It's peaceable. It's peaceable. It doesn't create confusion. It doesn't create disorder. It loves and promotes peace. Three, it's gentle. Oh, this is such a beautiful Greek word. It means sweet reasonableness. It's hard to say. Sweet reasonableness. It's courteous. It has an attitude of kindness, of patience, of being considerate. No malice, no hatred, without revenge. This kind of person takes persecution, takes mistreatment, and they do it with kindness. Here's the fourth characteristic. They're reasonable. They're willing to yield. In other words, they're not stubborn. They're teachable. Number five, full of mercy. Mercy, oh my goodness, don't you just love merciful people? They have concern for others who suffer. They're forgiving. They're compassionate. They're desiring to meet the needs of others. They're giving. They're loving. That just marks their life. They're full of mercy. May God make us full of mercy. Number six, full of good fruits. You know what? They just do a variety of things. They're always about spiritual deeds. Their life is just a total demonstration of good works for others. Number seven, they're unwavering. That means they don't vacillate. They don't shift. They don't turn one way one day and one way the other day. And it also means they're not partial. Number eight, they're without hypocrisy. They're utterly sincere, utterly genuine. They're not phony. They're not fake. There's no pretense. They don't wear a mask. You know, what you see is what you get. Don't you love people who are transparent and genuine and authentic? Now listen to me. Who is a truly wise person? Well, it's the one whose life manifests these eight things. That's what God's wisdom looks like. You know what? Christ possessed every one of those characteristics. Once again, when I get saved, I get Him. He moves in. And He begins expressing Himself through my life. I just think it's the coolest thing in the world to get to be a Christian. I love it. I love God. I love every day seeing God work in my life. You know what? He brought His love. He brought His joy. He brought His peace. He brought His goodness, His kindness, His faithfulness, His gentleness, His self-control, all of those things when He moved in to me. And I love having that expressed in my life. You know what? I did not have that in me. But when He moved in at salvation, I got everything that He was. And I've been learning as a Christian over these 30 so many years. If I will die to myself and exalt Him and choose Him and not walk by my flesh, but learn about Him, learn about His ways, learn what pleases Him, learn and choose, God, I want to walk that direction. He will empower me to do that. It's a supernatural lifestyle. It's a supernatural lifestyle. Wisdom is now my possession. I love it. I just love Jesus for that. And as I'm living my life once again, I hit a spot. I think, oh goodness, I'm going to really need wisdom for that. You know what? God says, good, good, good. Just come ask me. Just ask me. I'm the source. I've got it all right here. You just ask me. I'll answer you. I'll give you everything you need. And I won't be stingy with it. I'll give it to you generously so that you can live a life that brings honor to me. Now there's one more verse at the bottom there. And it really answers this question. What does true wisdom produce? And as you sow the fruit of righteousness, and by the way, the word wisdom and righteousness are synonymous in this passage of Scripture. You see, it's a cycle. It's the cycle of reaping and sowing. He pictures it as a fruit that's being sown. You know what? You sow it, and what happens? It produces more. And you sow it, and it produces more. And you're growing in regards to God's wisdom in your life, and you receive such a benefit. So James is saying, if you say you are a Christian, you must prove it by living like a Christian. Does your life display the wisdom of God? Do you see in your life worldly wisdom? We described it. Or do you see godly wisdom? And we described it. God's wisdom should mark the ones who belong to God. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this powerful lesson this morning. Oh my goodness, just to think of it, that all of the wisdom that created the world and the universe, it's amazing how You put it all together. We're in awe of creation. That the One who did that is in us. Oh Father, truly, You are our greatest treasure. And Father, I'm telling you, if you don't give us wisdom, we are going to mess up. We're going to be pulled and sucked into this world, and we don't want to be. So, Father, thank you for this message that you're everything we need. And we can draw on who is in us. And may our life be marked by the characteristics of godly wisdom. And so give us assurance that we really are your children as we take these tests. And then, Father, I would just pray if there's a lady in this room that says, you know, I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure. Well, that's a good place to be, too, because you know why? We can make it sure. We can put that stake down to make sure we are your women. Because, Father, it's no fun living the Christian life if you don't have Christ in you, because it's really hard to do. But when he's in us, oh, the supernatural ability and power and energy is there to walk in a way that pleases you. God, you are so good. Your wisdom is so delicious. Thank you so much for the gift of wisdom. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, next week we're going to move into chapter 4. We've gone through 3 chapters. So, we're going to be talking about, get ready, worldliness. It's going to step on your toes.